Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, this morning you can be seated. We're going to honor the Lord and get into the Word this morning. Then we're going to worship. And then we're going to allow him to minister. You're in a place where we come to church to have full-on worship. Then we want to have a full-strength word. We want to see, what does the Bible say? I'm not into making stuff up or trying to get people to do what I think is right. I simply present, what does the Bible say? And let every person determine, how does that apply to me? So the application is up to you. And I believe that when we do that, we open our arms to anybody to be a part of a growing energy church and a growing expectation church, because we come in at different levels. We experience different things in our life at different times, and we make room for God to touch everybody, because I believe that he does. I know that sometimes when we come together and we just mostly need the worship experience of the day. I just need to be in the presence of God. Other times, when it comes to hearing what the message is, the message might be kabam, hit us. And other times, we just need the tenderness of God to minister to us and to hear another person who's faith-filled to say, God's got you. God's got this. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it through this. And sometimes you need to hear somebody say, you're going to live and not die. I've had a few of those in my life where I needed to be encouraged that it wasn't over. So as I stand before you, I can say, if you whatever touch you need from the Lord, you're going to get that. Well, today we're looking at something that Jesus said in Matthew 6, because this year we're going to teach intermittently on the kingdom of God and what it means to be in the kingdom of God. And the most important aspect of the kingdom of God is to understand that Jesus is our king. Our king said that we're to abide by the laws of the land, but our king said that we will live better if we add a layer on top of that, the law of God. Now, when you hear the word law, a lot of people in today's age sort of stiffen up or rebel at that. God gave us laws for our protection, just like the nation has laws for our protection, and God said, keep them all. All right? So what we want to recognize is we have a king who is out to protect us at an extra layer, an extra level. Things that we know are spiritual are what God calls an unseen realm. It means he has an authority for those who believe in Jesus' name that exceeds what could happen in normal everyday life. If we're going to be a high expectation church, that means we have a high expectation in our relationship with God, and he has a high expectation in us in our relationship with God. Matthew 6:33 is Jesus himself speaking, and I love to note when Jesus is saying something, because you can't really say you're a Christian without knowing what Christ Jesus has to say on things. That's what makes us really take on the character of the Lord, is we learn that we're representing him. We're representing a king. We are not one. We are not all of that. He's all of that. And he's not all of that like the world thinks of somebody being high-minded. He's humble. But he did get raised from the dead. That tells us he has a level of authority over us that we should pay attention to, because he's our resurrection and our life. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, in that you can see he wants us to have things, but he wants us to seek him first. That means we work in our life to pay attention to what the King of Kings has to say to us, or what he wants from us, and we interact with him. For many, we learn to interact with him personally after we come together corporately like this and we find out, what's this all about? what's the kingdom of God all about? What does it mean? Does it mean I'm exempt from natural law? No, it means we have a layer added where God expects us to live in a way that glorifies the King and obeys the law, takes care of other people, blesses other people, loves other people. You know, the church had responsibility in the early days that much of the government has taken over now. Used to be the church's responsibility to take care of a lot of what was lacking. Well, now the taxes do that, and the church still does some of that. So there are systems that are meant to work together. God never intended for the kingdom of God to, at this stage of things, replace natural law. Now, someday it will. Someday, the Bible says in Revelation 5 that Jesus will be the King of kings and Lord of lords and be authority over it all, and every knee will bow to him. But while we're here, we have to pay attention. We have a higher Lord who will never come in conflict with the laws that we have to obey in the land. All right? He doesn't want to be in conflict with that. He's the higher law. Now, there's a spiritual battle that goes on when you choose to be a believer. And the battle is to keep the enemy. There is a devil. Scripture teaches so. He's a defeated foe, but he has authority in this world. Many people say, well, why does God allow all these things to happen? People allow things to happen through ignorance because the devil has license to operate here. And he has license until we say, no, you're on my territory and I belong to the King and you're not going to come against me and operate against me. But what the enemy tries to do is take away Jesus' right to have first place in your life. When you look at resistance and what the enemy would come against in your life, it may not be everything you think. Understand that there's one thing the enemy is out to do above all, is not let Jesus have first place in your life. Well, now, first place is something we do regularly that we think about, that we allow him into our heart in an increasing way. First place means we consider, what would he think about this? What would he say about this? How would he do this if he was here? So on Wednesday nights, that's what we're studying. How would Jesus do things? How was he really? So that we know how to do things. And what I find when we study, that's a lot of times people are surprised who Jesus was. He was pretty bold. He was outspoken, but he was respectful. He was determined. He was anointed. He walked in humility, but he had the power of God. He was quite unusual by the world's standards. So too are we when we seek him first. Now, when we don't seek the Lord first, Scripture teaches that we have a choice between two masters. We're either serving the Lord or we're serving the god of this world, who's the devil. Now, a lot of people, they say, how can that be? I'm serving myself. Well, that's what people want to think, but when we look at the author of selfishness, it was the devil who was selfish in heaven that said, I'm going to overthrow God and I'm going to be in charge, and he got kicked out. So we can't be putting Jesus first when we think that we're all of that. So Scripture requires a little humility in our thinking to understand how we seek the Lord and put him first. Now, today we're going to touch the tip of the iceberg. But you should understand when you leave today why we have church. What's happening? What is it? Why do we do something? Why does pastor think it's got to be, these things have to happen in a service? Now, they don't have to happen in a certain order, but there are certain things we want to have happen. And we're doing a service, we think, for some churches say, well, the service is for the people. Well, the response is for the people. Oh, I'm excited. North Carolina person. I get excited when I see North Carolina person. I have to say it like they say it, North Carolina. All right. I used to live there, if you don't know. All right. Now, Jesus calls his kingdom something so we get an understanding of what's supposed to happen in the kingdom. We have an individual place. You are one of Jesus' sheep. All right. But he brings us together as a flock. He wants us to think in staying in a group. Think of it this way. There's some protection in the group because the shepherd's over the group. He'd rather have all the sheep together thinking and doing some of the same things, at least on a regular basis. You don't have sheep, but you have cows. They all eat together, don't they? Unless one's sick and isolated, they eat together. Why, you couldn't stop them if you tried. That should be our attitude on Sunday, as I am getting mine today. But we also need to be thinking when we're getting ours that we're giving him his. See, because we get ours after we give him his, or we get a better version of what we're getting. When we give to the Lord first, we have faith to believe that he's going to take care of us. And that's kind of like the dinner bell. I mean, every farmer with animals, there's kind of dinner bell. At the Plenards, it's if a person shows up near the barn, the animals think that it's feeding time. I would show up near the barn to go to the garden, and they would think that I was going to turn on the machine or whatever. It didn't turn on its own, I think, right? It's automated. But they somehow would think, person, food. All right. We kind of need to understand when we come together as church, there should be an expectation built in us of recognizing we're coming into the Lord's presence, and he intends by our accepting him and loving him to do something for us. But he always responds according to our faith or what we come expecting to get. If we come thinking, I'm going to have a wonderful worship experience, that's mostly what we'll have. If we come thinking, today I'm looking for a word from heaven, you'll probably hear it in the message or from somebody else you're talking to while you're here or somewhere in your day, because God's out to meet you there with that expectation. You might come and say, yeah, I've really been down and I just want somebody to pray with me. I need to hear in my ears, everything is going to be all right. Well, then you can get that. That's real easy. That's called the prayer of agreement. You come to the altar and say, I want somebody to pray for me. And you know, about half the time people come to the altar, I don't ask, what do you want? They just say, oh, just pray, Pastor. And I'm thinking, all right, is this a test? Like, Pastor's got to know what the Lord's... So I just say, Holy Spirit, this is your person. Jesus, this is your person. You minister what they need. And what I ask him to do is always to give you what you need, whether I know what that is or not. Well, he knows. And see, we're the agent of comfort and reassurance, but he's the one doing the goods. It's not us. Now, Jesus calls his kingdom, I call it an elective sheepfold. It's our choice. Anybody comes in by choice. He has designs on us. He wants everybody. But we have to choose to approach him. And this is going to be a text we come back to intermittently this year, because it's one of the things, you know, I interact quite a bit with people on the outside of the church, people that are unchurched or curious about the things of God. And when I'm with a group of people like that, I like for them to ask me questions. I enjoy that. And I enjoy the top question asked is always something along the lines of, if God loves everybody like you say that he does, why does he let bad things happen to people? And I say, God doesn't bring on the bad things. The Bible, where's that in the Bible? Well, see, that's why we look to the Bible for answers. I'm not going to pretend I don't always have the answer. But when I do see that the Bible tells us an answer, I go there and say, well, you have to choose whether what the Bible says is going to be the highest authority or not. Whenever we think we know better, God lets us drown in our own thinking, because his word is what pulls us out of that. His word has a rescue agent built in for whatever the problem is. If we're feel like we're smothering in something, well, then he'll put in there what we need to open us up to be able to get the air. If we're out drowning in the water, he'll throw us something or send a life raft or have Trevor swim out and save you. All right. He'll do something about it. But this is John 10, 9 and 10, and it tells us, once we're in the sheepfold, we got to understand we have a responsibility to stay there. The kingdom of God is something you choose day by day. The kingdom of heaven is something that you receive when you're born again. Jesus said when we're born again, we have a Savior. The Savior says we're going to heaven, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that doesn't fix everything while you're here. It might cause you to think life has more problems. Why? Because suddenly the enemy says, oh, they're a potential source for good. A lot of Christians don't bring a lot of good because they don't choose to give back into the kingdom of God. But we here are learning that we're supposed to do something in the kingdom, that we're now a part of something that is more comprehensive than just what we see. Now, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's the first part. And shall go in and out and find pasture. I want you to see the phrase, and shall go in and out. Did you know you can be saved and still be in and out in the kingdom? Think of it this way. When you hear a good message and you say, I choose to believe that, you've made a step in. But if you hear something that you don't like, because it might make you change in a way you don't want to change, you might say, I don't like that. That's a step out. We choose to go in and out by how we respond to God calling us to come in further. God's never trying to push us away. He's always saying, come in a little bit further. Come in beyond the gate. Come over here where it's safe. Because if you read the rest of John 10, he's talking about the wolf coming to get the sheep. Well, if I want to think like a sheep, and I've learned how to, because it's important to lead Christian people, if I'm going to think like a sheep, I'm going to recognize to not be near the gate, but be in the middle of the paddock. All right. And get in the very middle of what? Be in the middle of God's will instead of on the edge of it. Choose to do what you hear the scripture say, even when it's uncomfortable, and it moves us more securely in a kingdom relationship with the king. Think of it this way. The more we listen to the king, the closer we are to his ear. All right. Now, shall go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean? We should come into a relationship that feels secure and has peace in it. And you might hear the howling of the wolf, but he's on the outside of the door and Jesus is not letting him in on you because you're secure with him. You've chosen to honor the king. When we do his word, we're honoring him and that puts us in the kingdom. I want you to understand what Jesus is teaching here is there's the kingdom of heaven. When we accept Jesus as Savior, he says, you're in, you're going to make it to heaven. But then there's the kingdom of God in the earth, and that's a great concern. Because to have the power of God and the authority of God and the goodness of God in our life while we're here, we better listen to the God who's offering those things. We have to do the things that he says. And, Jesus taught in another place, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I'm telling you to do? He's telling us if we don't do, he can't be Lord. If we don't do, we might be near the gate or we might be going in and out. And I want to encourage you that many times when we want to grow in the power of God, what I don't want you to do is come to church and just understand truth. I want the truth to release the power of God in your life for you to be set free and stay free and help others get free. That's why I said during praise, some are feeling a little more freedom than others. Why? We kind of learn that to appreciate freedom. If you've ever been in a trap, you appreciate being free of the trap. When I was young, some animal rights people won't like this maybe today, but I used to trap animals, okay, and hunt animals. I have to use it as an example. It's perfect. I was hunting animals and checking traps, and one day the trap snapped on my arm. I couldn't wait to get free of the trap. You know what happened after that? I quit trapping. All right. So see there, I knew you would like it if you'd give me a chance. See, you'll learn what's okay and what's not okay. All right. The thief, he said. Now who's the thief? The thief is the devil. Jesus said, understand first. Jesus said, understand our relationship. He said, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and we get in the safe paddock through a relationship with Jesus. You can think of my safe place is heaven, ultimately true. But while you're here, he wants you to experience benefits of relationship with the king that brings you into a safe place, a predictable place while you're here. Another thing I hear people say when they ask questions is, I don't understand how you can be so positive when life is so unpredictable. Oh, I like that one. Why? Life should become more predictable. It doesn't mean you won't have some surprises. It means the outcome can be more predictable, that our outcome is for the good. When you choose to be in the kingdom of God, the enemy will come against you. That's why Jesus, after verse 9, telling us about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, says, and there is a devil who wants to keep you out of both. There is a devil that wants to keep people from coming to know Jesus as Savior so they don't make heaven. That's evident. But there's the same devil that wants to take a Christian and say, we'll let them wait until heaven because I can't stop that, but I'm going to try to torment them while they're here. Welcome to what we call being a Christian. There's an enemy against you, but Jesus made provision to have victory over that enemy by staying close to him. And that's what he means by you can come in and out. I choose to be in more than out. And I want you to think that way. You might recognize that there's some parts of your life that you are maybe not as committed to do the God thing. That's what people call it on the outside, doing the God thing. Or they'll say the religious thing and say, no, that doesn't apply. And they say the God thing, okay, that applies. And tell them that's closer to what it is. But he said, go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he flips it and he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Two kingdoms. He's showing us two kingdoms on the earth. One is the goodness of God, is the kingdom of God, to further the kingdom. We do teach a prosperity gospel here, but it's not the typical one. Go get whatever you want, and God's going to do it for you. We look at, what does the Bible say? The Bible says there's kingdom benefits for those who choose to live in the kingdom. That means we recognize what we have belongs to the Lord, and we're stewards of that. When he calls on us to do something for him, then we want to. That's why we're kind of an unusual church. Why? If pastor says, I believe the Lord's saying we need to do such and such, people respond in a wonderful way. And we don't make things up. We really listen carefully. What's he saying to do? And that's what we call ministry, where we want to do things to help people and make this a better place to live, not just a place that we celebrate on Sunday, but a place that makes it a better. We're here to make it be a better place to live. Now, he says, I am come that they might have life. Oh, I wish that word wasn't in there. Might. And that they might have it more abundantly. Now, there's a reason why might is right there. Because we're in control of going in and out. That's why he had to say it that way. I think he wanted to say will. But he knew we had the will. We own the will. We have free will. So we decide to what degree we want to listen to him or not. So in one area of life, we might enjoy kingdom benefits, in another area, not. And it's always because of our will. It's not God's will. He's not unwilling to bless anybody who turns to him. That's what the scripture says. He's always ready, able, and willing, but we have to line up our will with his willing. We have to become partners. That's what it means to be in covenant. So we decide how much we're going to be in and how much we're going to be out. Today, there's teaching that, well, to be in the kingdom of God, you've got to be saved. True. That's the only way into anything God has to offer, is to acknowledge Jesus. But when we come in, we're set for heaven, but to be set here, there's more work. Why? There's no resistance to heaven. Did you know the devil can't stop that anymore? Jesus paid the price for it, and all we have to do is accept what he did by faith, and we have that ticket, if you want to call it that. A reassurance and a knowing we're going to make heaven, but that doesn't fix things while we're here. For some folks, it makes them say things like, I wish Jesus would just return, or I wish I could just go to heaven. Don't take that attitude, all right? The attitude we need to have is, Jesus, show me how I can do something for you while I'm here, because this place is a mess. And I want to be part of the solution and not the problem. And I can't do that by myself, but I believe you can show me a way to make a difference. You can show me something or tell me something that'll make a difference. And I want to do that. And that's what it means to be in the kingdom of God, is we are out to work, to be a partner with God, to make this a better place for people. And one of the ways we do that is to show them who he is. He's not the thief. He's not killing people. He doesn't need more angels in heaven. You're not going to turn into an angel. There's nowhere in the scripture that says we're going to turn into angels. God created angels as a separate class of beings, and he doesn't need us there. He made that place for us to welcome us, because we need a place to go when we die. He doesn't need us. He needs us. If you want to think of where God needs you, honey, it's here. He needs problem solvers and mess fixers here. Why? There's none of that there. We will one day be absent of that and go, man, what a difference from the life that we knew. But he has designs on our eternity being a place of reward. And it's because we did something, we cooperated with him somehow. Now, 13 minutes. Trials are sent not of God. Trials are sent by who? Thank you. You heard it. Trials are not sent by God. They are sent by the enemy. Why? You're in the earth. There won't be any trials in heaven. Trials are in the earth. We just saw Jesus say, who's going to send that? The devil's going to send that. Trials are sent to test our allegiance, to see if we're going to cave in to the other master sending the trial. Are we going to stand on, I can't see Jesus, but I choose to believe him over the mess I see around me? That's a trial. A trial is something, you don't like it, you don't want it, you maybe caused it, but you want it gone. That's a trial. You're thinking, why is this happening to me? This should not be happening to me. No, when you get to heaven, you will not have to say, this should not be happening to me. Because the enemy is not there to put you on trial anymore. The trial is not even that personal. The trial is to stop your faith in the Lord Jesus. To convince you to not acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Because we come into lordship not because everything is perfect in our life, but rather because it's imperfect and we recognize the way to get the power of God in our life is call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, I acknowledge you as the fixer of this, and I need your help, and you're gonna help me know the decisions I need to make to get out of trouble. You're gonna help me know what I need to do to have a more fulfilling life. You're going to help me know what I need to do to have a long life. See, when we learn what the Bible says, we learn what God's will is. That helps us to know, and we find out who's on our side and who's against us. Well, I don't know about you. Any room I go in, I scope the room. And if I think there's an adversary, I identify. Well, I'm an old corporate business guy. If I think there's somebody there against me or somebody there to get my hide or somebody there to get my dollar, I identify them. Then I decide how I'm going to take a stand in that room so that they don't get an outcome that takes something off of me. And if I go in there needing a certain outcome, I might potentially prepare for that outcome to negotiate. What we're going to see in the scripture today, and we'll see it briefly, and we'll have to talk about it more because we're going to run out of time because we just, you know, we're limited to time here, sadly. That won't happen in heaven either. We won't have a consciousness of it. The days are really, really long. Everything you want to get done in a day, you'll get done 10 times in a day rather than not get anything done. Yeah. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, and kind of the key to understand how we unlock the kingdom of God. The trial of your faith, the word trial, when you get the notes, it's in red. It jumps off the page. The trial, you're going to have that as a believer. Why, you have an enemy trying to stop you from believing. Because if you believe enough, you start to say some things that you believe. And when you start to say some things that you believe, your behavior starts to line up with belief. Now, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. That makes no sense. Would you rather have a trial of faith or a pile of gold? Don't answer that. If you don't think, you'll answer wrong. Now, it seems like, what, is God trying to trick us or something to be excited about trials? No, he's not excited about the process of going through them, but what it will yield. He knows that if we think about it right, and we have some insight to the kingdom of God, we'll say, on the other side of this test, trial, problem, is a victory. And if it weren't precious to me and valuable to God and a good thing for the world, the devil wouldn't try to stop me from getting the victory. It would just kind of fall in my lap. Ever wonder why the blessing of God just doesn't fall in your lap? It's because there's an enemy resisting you. As God sees it, he said, I've already done everything that pertains to life and godliness. And here you go, kids, here you go. And then there's an enemy going, no, you can't have that. You don't know anything. You're not wise enough, smart. And he just tries to talk us out of it by any means. Did you know the kingdom of God is not built on your wisdom? It's built on God's wisdom. So whenever something kind of hits me and I think I don't really get it, I say, God, I don't really get it, but you get it. Help me get it. Help me understand this. Help me comprehend this. And that's been one of the wisest prayers of my whole life. All right. And I still use it and I'm not ashamed of it. Why? I believe compared to God, we don't know anything. We have to draw on Him. But here's what he says. More precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found. A trial might be found. The trial might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the manifestation of Jesus Christ. The trial has to yield something. The trial is meant to purify our life before the Lord. Make it better. Make it richer. Make it more real. Make it more known. The more we get into the kingdom of God, the more we recognize where the gates are to jump out. There's one gate in. His name is Jesus. There's a myriad of gates out. All kinds of things in this world. All kinds of other things that want to be first. That's how you know the gate. What comes first? You know, I tell folks, you want to be in church because God asked for first place and he asked for the first moment of our week to honor him. And he said, you guys keep it holy. God didn't say he'd keep the Sabbath holy. He said, we choose to keep it holy. What happens for us in that is we say, I'm lining up with the kingdom of God. And if I give him my first, he'll bless the rest. That's what the scripture teaches. So we can move ourselves securely into Jesus' pasture every day. There are days that I recognize I need to press in more. So, well, when would those be? If sickness hits my body, I say, Jesus, I need to press in for healing. I don't like being sick. If I see something coming up that's a challenge, like say, oh, we need money to buy a new car. We need to get some money down, or we either get money down on a new car, or we put money into the old car, and it just, you know, we do the math and say, well, Lord, it just looks like it's a better decision to do this. Well, when I don't know where that's going to come from, and it was not planned, what do? I press in to understand that Jesus already has paid the price for me, and I can release my faith because I'm obedient to him, that he's going to take care of my needs according to his riches and glory because Jesus took care of that. But I have to choose to come in that gate and close the gate behind me. And the gate behind you might be when you're looking at the checkbook and it says that you have $1,000 and you need 3 or 4 or 5. To buy a vehicle. You say, I don't see how that's going to happen. You don't have to see how it's going to happen on paper. You have to see how it's going to happen in your heart. See, Jesus, and many of you have learned that in one area or another, and we end up having faith stronger for some things than other things. So what do we do? Get around somebody that has strong faith for what you need. That's what I like to do, to press in. Now, we've got to get to the three main points here so we know what to do during worship. The main points, if you get the notes, are in red, and they come after this statement. This is what church is meant to do for us if we allow God to move. We're his sheep. He calls us the sheep of his pasture. Well, if we've been outside the door, we're his sheep, but we're not of his pasture. So service is to help us be herded into his pasture. Now, we have to choose to cooperate with that. I mean, we can sit and physically be in church, and I don't believe that. Okay, then, you know, in that area of life, stay outside the gate, you know. What you're going to hear is pastor crying, there's a wolf, there's a wolf. Why, that's what John 10 says. There's a wolf out there. I would just believe that if I was you. Believe to come inside the gate and let the shepherd close the gate on the wolf. Why, he can't jump that fence. It's spiritual. It's something that Jesus paid for. His bloodline is the fence, is what it amounts to. So we choose to come in there. But church service is designed to herd us in the right direction. I don't know if you've ever tried to move animals. I've watched different ones do it. I've watched you. And at first, it's a patient process. While you're just generally waving your arms and saying, all piggies move, or all the cows move, or all the sheep move, or the turkeys or the chickens, that they're like, who are you? They put their claws out. But at first, it's and a few smart ones or dumb ones, I'm not sure which they are, but they go into where they're supposed to go. Why? Now, that sounds awful. You think smart or dumb. Well, sometimes when we don't recognize that God's doing something for our obedience, it's because we're ignorant. We haven't learned that yet. It doesn't make us dumb. We get the fruit of dumb. Okay. Now, I've watched what happens to a piggy that doesn't go where he's supposed to. You know, he's going to be prodded. Now, here, when you come to church, if there's any prodding, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. All right? The Holy Spirit poking at you, thinking, oh, it's pastor, lay off. It ain't pastor, honey. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you need this, you want this. And we learn to respond to that because we want to be the sheep of his pasture and we want to be in a safe place. And that's what a full-on worship, full-strength word is all about. So we say, I'm going in this for everything that I can get today. I'm going to give him as much as I can of my heart and my attitude. I'm going to focus on receiving something from the Lord by blessing him, knowing that he's going to, when that full-on word comes, there's something in it for me. And then there's something else that happens, the ministry, the manifestation of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit doing the poking, saying, get in there where it's safe. Choose to believe that. So this is what he's saying. Praise is an outward expression of approval and blessing. We do that largely in our music. We're saying, God, I approve of you in my life. I have chosen you because you first chose me. Here I am, and I'm lining up for your approval. Isn't that amazing that he puts approval first? He said, we're already accepted in the beloved. That means when we come into his presence, in spite of if we've got a gate that we've gone out, we've messed up, he still lets us come in his presence. Why? He is ultimately out to protect you from the wolf. So he's not going to preach to you first. He's going to have you get inside the gate first. Did you know that's what praise does? Is it moves us. I mean, if we're willing and we're obedient, we'll go charging in the gate. Why? We know if the shepherd's there, the food's there. All right. But he doesn't feed us outside the gate because the wolf knows what to do when we're feed. He moves us in the gate. So you see, whenever we come to church, we ought to be prepared to be moved. God wants us to benefit the most we possibly can, and he leaves it up to us. So praise is that outward expression. That mostly happens here in our music and early service. Lucinda, cheerleader that he is, she is, when she gets up, is encouraging you. Come on, she's excited. We've been looking at cars. We had a guy in Arizona email us about a car because it fit the criteria we were looking for, and it's in a good climate where there's nothing wrong with it, and it's low mileage, on and on and on. It was one of the picks. And he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do a video for you guys so that you want my car. And I knew by his name, he was a sales guy. I knew that he probably moved there from which state. I kind of had him pegged. And I thought, he really is out to sell this car. That's what he does. That's his job. And I was sort of enjoying it. But he sent the video. And he said, hi, this is Sal. Get excited. Standing in front of the car. I'm thinking, I guess a lot of people get excited and they buy something. We're like, no, we're not getting excited. Show us the real deal. We want to see the carpet. We want to see what's in Arizona. What's that? Yeah, we love Sal. It's fun. It's fun working with him. But Lucinda played that back, I don't know, quite a few times. And always it was a part, get excited. She started laughing. And I'd say, you know, that's just kind of how God sets us up. He wants us to choose to get excited before we see the goods or drive the car or whatever it is. He wants us to choose to believe that he's doing something good for us. Now, the second is honor that we find there in 1 Peter. Honor is a valuing by which a price is set. It means that by how we honor something we're going to buy, we decide how much we're going to pay for it. And looking at cars, that's why we want to know everything. Does it have this? Does it have this? Does it have this? Is there any stinky smell in there? Is there anything like we pester them to pieces? Why? We're having to know if the price they're asking is what it's really worth in our mind. See, what I might pay for something might be different than what you would pay based on how much do we want to scrutinize that? So we have to think in our relationship with God, how do we value that? Is he first place or does he have some other place? Do we really choose to let him be first in our life because we value him and what he's done for us, or do we trust in other things? See, when we have more faith in our job than we do our God, we recognize, uh-oh, I've got to do some shifting and changing here. We don't just change because one day we woke up and think I'm putting Jesus first. We have to figure out, how do I do that? How do I honor him? Money, time, what we care about, it's a part of that. For example, for a lot of people, Sunday morning's the day to sleep late and come to church. Well, for me, it's the day I get up the earliest, usually 3:00. And I'm praying and I'm talking to the Lord. Why? For me, this high and holy day before him, I have to represent him to you. That's a big, scary deal to me. Why, it's not me wanting to just come and say what I think the church needs. I can't figure out what the church needs. I have to ask the head of the church, what does his church need? And then I kind of see myself like a neck connecting Jesus to you. Like, Jesus, help me bring that out. Let my vocal cords come out and bring that out, what it is you're doing. Now, honor is a valuing. So here's kind of how the kingdom works. If you value and love the king, accordingly you will get in the kingdom. It isn't how we love the kingdom of God or God's people. It's how we love and value and honor the king. It's how we honor the Lord Jesus. That's individual. So I could say another title for this sermon would be Individual Results May Vary. But I've used that title before about 8 years ago, so I didn't call it that. But this is a similar kind of word in that I'm not in control of that. Do you know Jesus isn't in control of that? We are in control of that. He loves everybody the same, and he did it for everybody. And he's an equal access God. It's a matter of us causing our will to bend to God's will. Then there's a third thing, the glory. That's an expressed opinion and estimation. That means our words and our motives. Our words and our motives line up with who Jesus is. We choose to say what he's saying and do the things that he's doing and care about the things that he cares about. He said, by these I give my king more authority over my life. These three things do it. When we express to God how we love him, when we start to value him, when we start to change our life to fit what pleases him, we're going to get more in the kingdom. We're going to see the blessing of God coming our way because in the way that we yield to him, he's going to give back into our life. It's our choice. It's progressive. Now, by these, he said, by degree, we either can be found under his authority and in his pasture or not. It's our choice. Now, he gives a fourth word that he said there. It's manifestation, or it might say appear in your Bible. He's saying if you want Jesus to appear in your life, these three things are what you do. To the degree you want to see the kingdom of God manifest. See, I'm praying right now for a lot of things to happen in the body of Christ and in our church and in the earth because that's my job. You know, I have to, I answer to him now. I'm not going to wait until I get there and be surprised. I want to know, how do I need to be praying now? The same way that you say, Lord, how should we be living now? What should we be doing right now for you? We all do that. As we do that and approach him, he said, it's his job to show up. What it really means is to bring out into the open. It means when the trial comes against your faith, when the trial, when the enemy tries to stop you, when circumstances don't look good, when you are tempted to fall out and say, I better take this in my own hands. I better make something happen. I don't see how it's going to happen unless I do all the things I can possibly do. No, sometimes we've got to step back and rest in our faith and say, Lord, you're faithful. And it says, then he'll bring it out in the open. What does he bring out in the open? He wants to express back how much he loves you for trusting him. He wants to express back to you what it means to him that your faith is in him. So the enemy, when he brings a trial, is trying to cause us to step back from that and say, it ain't working for me. It isn't working for me. Whenever we do that, we say, I'm in this world. I know about the kingdom, but no. I'm speaking my allegiance to this world when I say, God's not faithful. I don't see it. I'm not resting. And what happens is the power of God can't move on our behalf because it's coming from the king. You see, it's not coming because we're anything great. Here's something to kind of think all the time. You will never be great. All we can be is good. And the only reason we are good is because he is good and he's in here making us more good. And what makes us good? Coming into the kingdom and saying, I'm gonna believe you, Lord. I'm gonna trust you to change this in my life. I'm gonna trust you to heal the broken places. I'm gonna trust you that when the doctors say they can't fix what's wrong with me, I'm gonna trust you to fix me. That's one of the doorways in. He always has something good for us. We're gonna stop by this statement. The ongoing expression of our faith keeps us inside his kingdom. What does that mean? It means that we, when we continue to express our faith the way that we said, we honor him. We come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. We speak out his word when we do those things and we fix a value on him. It should be kind of like this in your house if you really allow Jesus to become Lord. As everybody knows, come hell or high water, car breaking down, a blizzard or anything else, we are going to honor the Lord on Sunday and put Him first. Now, if we were ever to cancel Sunday morning service here because hell and high water and snow looked too dangerous, you can do that at home. What you don't do is go turn on the TV and play games first. You put the Lord first. Then you can play games or do whatever you want with your family. Why? God loves you to have family time so long as He's first. God loves you to have recreation so long as He gets invited too. He loves to be a part and have first place in everything we do. And when we do that, we know we're in, we're safe, we're good. He wants you to always have that real playing in your heart as I'm safe, I'm good, I'm in the kingdom, I'm keeping Him first. You know, He doesn't ask for a lot, really. He asks to be given first consideration in everything. When I get ready to go to the doctor, and I go to doctors, that surprises you. I mostly like them to tell me I'm healthy. But when I go to the doctor, I expect to hear a good report. If I don't hear a good report, I come away and say, Lord Jesus, you got to do something. It was some years ago now, I had liver failure. I went into the doctor for an annual physical, and several of you said, Pastor, you don't look well. I said, thank you very much. I already know that. But I went to the doctor, and I said, Doc, check me out. And I didn't go there thinking nothing was wrong. I knew something was wrong. And I remember before I went rehearsing the healing scriptures because I said, now, Lord, I'm going in there and I believe the outcome's going to be good no matter what the report is because You're my healer. And I studied the healing scriptures and I got in my heart a strong dose of what I call God's medicine that Jesus already paid the price for me. Well, the doctor didn't exactly understand that. He said, you probably won't make it without a liver transplant. In fact, you're in the worst shape of any man walking that I've seen when it comes to your liver. Are you a closet alcoholic? I said, no. I said, I'm not a drinker. He said, could have fooled me. Then a little bit later, he said, tell me the truth about the drinking thing. I said, I did tell you the truth. It isn't that. He said, well, for some reason, you're in really bad shape there. So, well, Doc, reschedule, do what we need to do, and I'll come in for more blood work. I said, that's going to turn around. Now, I don't expect doctor to understand how it turned around. He was treating me with whatever he had, but he didn't have a fix. He said, it needs to regenerate. It did. I've got the numbers. I've got the reports. I can prove it to you. It not only regenerated, it shockingly went back to, as if the clock was dialed back to be 25 years old. Now, that's the faithfulness of God. But I'm going to tell you, He doesn't only do that for one person. He does that because we understand how to get in His kingdom. We understand. And I was hearing what the doctor was saying. That's His job. That's what I went there for, is to find out. I wasn't mad at the doctor for saying there's a problem. I was like, okay, now I know what it is. I'm going to begin to pray and seek the Lord. What I do for the next 2 weeks, every day, I put Him first as my healer. Every day I said to Him, Jesus, thank You for healing my body. I'm still a young man by comparison of how long I think I need to live to do the word of the Lord, and I work for You. And this world doesn't have the answer for me. It doesn't look like it's good for me in this world, but You have the answer for me, and I'm going to trust that You bring it into my life. And you know, think about it. What choice did I have? See, sometimes we let ourselves get in a shape, or what choice do we have? It's better to respond before that, not get in trouble anyway. But anyway, today, I don't know if that's 5 years ago. Does that sound about right? I'd have to go look up. Those things are all in my desk. Every so often I pull out and look and say, thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the good that You've done.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.